Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 31, the first paragraph that begins with, "Despite all we can say," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha Z, who will be reading the 12 steps, Naomi B will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Dion R, Penny LC, and Laura R. The share ID for Tuesday, January 19th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,225. That's 16225. And this morning's Wednesday, January 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,230. 2-3-0. Our newcomer greeter for today is Audrey M.P., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And good morning, Martha Z. If you would read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Martha Z. Naomi B., if you would read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. Hi, Martha. I'm going to be reading the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted service. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except the matters affecting others, groups, or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group would never endorse, finance, or lead the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 31, the first paragraph that begins with "Despite all we can say." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, all. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. Despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in the class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they try to prove themselves exception to the rule. Therefore, non-alcoholics, if anyone who is showing an inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. Oh, hey, yeah. I see so many warnings and suggestions, of course, in here. Dion, compulsive overeater, and very grateful today where I can exchange that word for alcoholics to compulsive overeater and non-compulsive overeater. And because I've worked and have been at that point when I came in, that sentence right there, almost, believe me, this paragraph I'm grateful for, but it almost sent me to my death. So I'm like, oh my God, I might not be really one of them. Once I came in, like, I just want to lose weight. I don't want to, what about all this spiritual experience and all that stuff? I don't need all that. I don't need to wear all them steps. My God, I'm already in another program. I just want y'all weight loss. Thank you very much, and I'll be on my way. Oh my God, so I tried every other thing, and it nearly killed me. And these words stuck out to me so loud. I was like, ooh, you know, and they was like, if you can do it somewhere else, go for it. You know, if you don't want to follow these simple suggestions, these 12 simple suggestions, go for it. Keep it moving. And, whew, I'm so grateful. The doors were still open. The truth was still here. The same 12 steps was here that worked for me again when I got honest, June 23rd, 2012. Just before he started Vision. I remember, I got honest. Enough is enough. And today, there's no question and no doubt. If you could find it an easier, softer way, I tip my hat to you. But if not, we're here for you. Not to beat the wounded, to lift the wounded. And because that's what you guys did for me. I just want to pass the message on. You know, that there's no... not beating you or browbeating you. We just offering you love in a suggestive way that worked for us, not only us, meaning us compulsive overeaters, but millions of people by surrendering to these steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you so much, Dion R., for getting us started this morning. Okay, so although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say, and who would like to share on this paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Karen T.
Karen T.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Debbie P.
Debbie P as in Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
Jody E.
And Jody E. Okay, great lineup. We'll stop there. So I have Donna B., Bruce E., Karen T., Jody H., Debbie P., and Jody E. So go ahead, please, Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. I do spell my name D-A-N-A. I'm really grateful to be on the phone this morning live, as I often am only able to listen to the recording later in the day. Heaven knows we've tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. And I ask myself, have I tried hard enough and long enough to live like other people? To live as if I don't have a disease. To live as if I don't have a higher power. To live as if there isn't a higher power. To live as if I don't have to maintain and grow my spiritual practice. This is a disease and a way of recovery that really does ask me to change everything about the way I eat and about the way that I live. I have tried experiments, and I certainly am capable of self-deception. I think that denial is something that I struggle with and that I have seen nearly everyone in the room struggle with. And I'm grateful to be able to be on this journey with so many people who can point me to the truth and who can save me from my own self-deception. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Bruce E., you're up, followed by Karen T. Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce E. in Florida, recovered food addict, low-bottom food addict. Many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they're in that class. Well, I'm a real addict, but I don't want to believe I'm in that class. You know, I don't want to say that I am because I want to be a normal person. Okay, now, I don't want to exactly be a normal person. I want to be cooler and I want to be better than everybody else and I want to be on the top, right? But then when it comes to the food, I want to be the normal person. So I got this thing all screwed up here, and I'm to be one of the group, not better than anyone, not less than anyone, but yet at the same time, I am not a normal eater. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered now, but I am a food addict. So I'm not going to prove myself like a normal person. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exception to the rule. Well, I've been there and done all that. This food, what got me here was the pain, this tremendous pain of overeating, of saying I wasn't going to do it and then do it, of having breakfast and saying I wasn't going to eat until lunch and half hour later I'm eating again already. So that all that pain proved to me that I need to be here, you know, prove to themselves exception to the rule. I'm not an exception to the rule. I am the rule. I am a food addict. If anyone is showing inability to control his drinking, can do the right about face drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Well, I've tried doing that, all that eating, and do a right about face and drink like a eat like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Man, I have tried that, and the pain that brought me and the suffering. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. I still can't even figure it out to this day, except that my wife is not a food addict or a compulsive overeater, but I've seen her many times eat one piece of candy and walk away. She keeps chips in the cabinet, you know, and she can eat those and leave them there. Sometimes they might even get stale. She might throw them away. You know, that's a normal eater. I am not a normal eater, and I have proved to myself time after time after time that I'm not a normal eater. But yet, you know, there is still something, thank you, back there that tells me I can beat this game, but I can't. I'm a food addict, and I'm recovered, and I'm glad to be here, so I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Karen T., you are up, followed by Jody H. Go ahead, Karen.
Hello, everyone. My name's Karen. Karen T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. And gosh, I've heard so many good things on the line already this morning. I keep changing what I'm going to say because, I want to say that. I have had a lot of self-deception. I'm here to report this program really works. I would go through the 12 steps, have a spiritual awakening, and then food would be easy. I would be easily able to stay on my food plan, staying away from my binge foods. And I remember I've had four huge relapses in OA, and I remember a relapse. It was either two or three, thinking to myself, wow, this is easy. Maybe I'm not a compulsive overeater. And, you know, maybe I made too big of this thing. So my self-deception came back in. And it's because I was resting on my laurels. I wasn't working the program like my hair is on fire. And that thought came back in, and that eventually led to relapse again. So I have tried to prove myself the exception of the rule to the rule and therefore non-alcoholic many times. And then this part about our hats are off to him. About 6 years ago, there was a newcomer that came to our local meeting, and I went right up to her and we talked, and she asked me to be her sponsor on that her very first meeting. And we went through the doctor's opinion, and I taught her what obsession of the mind, allergy of the body, phenomenon of craving, and a lot of the step one information that you give to a sponsee. And she said, I don't think I'm really a compulsive overeater. And I had to say to her, yeah, from what we've been talking about, I agree. And she went on her way. And my hat is still off to her. I've seen her recently, and she's happy about her food. So there is someone who didn't have this allergy of the body and obsession of the mind who had wandered into an OA meeting. And, you know, my hat's still off to her because she's not one of us. She doesn't have this disease. So it's really, you know, kind of silly. My hat's off to her. It's like saying, oh, congratulations, you don't have cancer. Some people have this disease and some people don't. So that is a little bit of what I wanted to talk about on this paragraph. Thank you so much for everyone who's been doing service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen T. from Louisiana. And Jody H., good morning. You're up, followed by Debbie P.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody H. from the state of Maine, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I had never been in OA before I came to Vision in the month of June of last year. And I was so desperate that all of my excuses and self-deception and whatnot was quieted down for a while, because I had tried everything that I could think of. But I can say, in all honesty, after 4 or 5 months of abstinence, my ability to have self-deception has taken off like an airplane. I love the whole idea of working in the program like your hair's on fire. I like that saying, because as soon as I got done working, I can only handle like one or two sponsees at a time. So after I got them through the steps, I just maintain them as contacts according to their desire. And I found myself in self-deception, the sleeping late, so I could lose more weight because I would miss breakfast. And getting up and then saying, oh, it's still a half hour to lunch, I can make it. Well, why don't I have half my breakfast? And then I'll have lunch at noontime. And all the self-deception that many of us have felt and experienced. And it's so important for me. And I'm also in the AA program, and I learn when I go to their meeting, or I should say our meetings, I'm like I'm in an OA meeting because they're using the big book. And I can talk on both avenues. And it's just such a great feeling to know that there's a place to go and everyone understands where I'm coming from as a recovering compulsive overeaters, and that there's a way out and there is a solution and it's going to work. And it has worked for me, and I have to work really hard at this program some days. And it's meetings like this that make me feel like I'm one of many and I can make it and I can do it. And with my higher power's help, I can do all things. And thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody H. from Maine. And Debbie P., good morning. You're up, followed by Jody E.
Good morning. This is Debbie P., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Indiana. This is my first time sharing on Vision, but this actual paragraph is me. I have been around OA for 10 years now, and it's only this last year that I really grasped what it was that defined me as a compulsive overeater. And one of those things is that sometimes I could eat some things and my physical reactions would be down the road a couple days or even a couple weeks later before I would really start feeling something. So I could say to myself, you know, here's the reason why I'm not a compulsive overeater. However, in my mind, my thoughts just kept going and going and going. I didn't realize that was part of it. So with abstinence from the trigger foods, you know, the chatter between my ears is just so much more, so much less. I don't have near as much chatter or stinking thinking, if you will. And I am able to focus more on program, more on others. and more on my higher power especially. And by doing that, then I get the ability. Most of the time I don't really feel like working the program, but my higher power gives me that energy I need in order to do that. So anyway, I love what I've already heard. I can relate. And I'm so glad to be a part of this vision. And thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Debbie P. from Indiana. And before I take you, Jody E., just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say. And I'll be taking some more names after Jody E. So go ahead, please, Jody E.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. I can certainly relate to this paragraph. I, too, like all of you who are real compulsive overeaters, played the game of self-deception and experimentation. You know, maybe I can eat like a normal person those desserts, that bread, that pastry. But it became an obsession. My mind, too, also would become just racing with thoughts of, what am I going to eat today? What combination of sugar, flour, and fat am I going to eat today? Am I going to make it myself? Am I going to buy it? When am I going to get time alone to eat it so that I can eat like I want to eat with no one watching me? Or what am I going to do today? I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to drink coffee so that I can have some later or to make up for yesterday's binge. That was my reality for some years, and even within OA, and it actually got worse in OA as a result of abstaining without working the steps. Abstaining without working the steps made me crazy, insane. And it's only through working the steps that I can abstain happily. And I am here, I am one more voice on this line to tell you that it is possible to abstain happily. Once you are willing to put the food down, you realize that you're powerless over it and it's making your life unmanageable to an unacceptable degree. Then you can put it down and work the steps and be so grateful and so happy, just like all of us. It's really possible. If it can happen for us, it can happen for you too. And that's why we're here, to tell you that it did work, it is working, and how to do it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. Okay, I'm ready to take some more names, and although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share on page 31, the first paragraph?
Maureen S. from New York.
Maureen F.
Connie T., Pennsylvania.
Connie T. Anyone else?
Darla T.
California.
Okay, who from California?
Jill C. California.
Jill C. from California?
Yes.
Okay, and was there a Darla?
Darla T. from
P
Illinois.
P as in Tom?
No, P as in Paul.
P as in Paul. And Darlette?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Darlette. Okay.
Thank you.
Samia S.
What was the first name?
Samia.
Samia F?
Yes.
As in Sam? Okay.
Yes.
And I can take one more. Okay. We'll stop there then. I have Maureen S., Connie T., Darlette P., Jill C., and Samia S. So go ahead, please, Maureen S.
Thank you so much. Maureen S.
recovering in New York. I'm grateful for this big book. When I put down my drug of choice, I have to cling to this program for my life, and I'm just like the heroin addict who's, you know, on the street with a needle in their arm. That's just not my drug of choice, but that's how bad of a food addict I am. And my first instinct when I read the sentence, "Many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe that they are in that class," I think, yeah, I knew I was like a compulsive overeater from the first day that I stepped into an OA meeting 20 years ago. But I still had so much self-deception that just that knowledge of saying, yeah, I'm a compulsive overeater, that wasn't enough to ever get me recovered, because I have more self-deception than I didn't even think was humanly possible. I think I always thought, oh, well, I'm just suffering more than, you know, somebody else, which is a self-deception because it's not true. And I just really need to, like, just finish this one last time, because I just can't handle these feelings and these emotions, because I just have it all worse. And the self-deception and the selfishness that is just my nature is just astounding to me, because I always think, oh, I'm not, you know, it's not all about me, but it is all about me. And I find out, like, if I'm thinking about, I'm just coming back in from a relapse just last week, and I'm so, so eternally grateful for these Vision for You meetings, because when I'm not eating and I read the big book, I get so much knowledge and so much wisdom from it. But if I'm choosing to use my drug and try to read it, you know, it doesn't click. I'm not getting the wisdom that I need. And I'm really done with deceiving myself, and I need to realize that I do not know what I'm doing, and I need to just really submit to others who, by following the directions in this book, have gotten recovered, and I'm no exception. So I'm just grateful, so grateful to be here and on this meeting, and I thank you for everybody who shared, and thank you for those of you who tirelessly do service and come to these meetings, because for someone like me who relapses, you're still here, and you're all with your arms wide open, and are here to help us, and I'm just so thankful. So thank you so much to everybody on the line. Thank you for your shares. They really helped me today. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maureen S. from New York. Connie T., you are up, followed by Darlette P. Go ahead, Connie.
Thank you for your service. This is Connie T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Central Pennsylvania. And I think this is it's one of my favorite chapters in the big book. I don't know, it just speaks, everything speaks to me, but this just, oh, I got it highlighted, my book's falling apart. And it's just, you know, I just turned 59 yesterday, it was my birthday. And I did not even hear of OA or know about it until I was 52. But I started my first diet at age 17. So for 35 years, I honestly thought I just didn't find the right diet yet, you know, but it was out there. So I can't even say that, I'm not even sure, 20, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So when I read this and it says by every form of self-deception and experimentation, they try to prove themselves. For those 35 years, I don't know if I was deceiving myself, because I didn't even know that I had a disease. I honestly thought I just didn't find the right diet yet. But once I came into OA, which was about 6.5 years ago, and I learned about this and I identified immediately, I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. This is totally me. I had no idea other people were like this when it came to food and the mental part of it and all that. I knew then that I belonged. But even then, for the first couple years in OA, I still was trying to find some loopholes. That's where I can really see the self-deception. I would look at others that were in OA that could eat certain things, and I would try to say, well, if they can eat it, I could eat it. And I couldn't, you know, there's just certain things I can't have that are totally fine for some other people in program to have. And it wasn't until I really got honest with that, and this was maybe about 4 years ago, and three, 4 years ago, when finally, somehow, someday, that I would control, I knew it. I knew I was I was done. There was just, it was in my innermost soul. And I felt such relief then, because when it gets in your innermost soul, like, you know, this is you and it's not going to change. Then you do have two choices. You either get better or you eat yourself to death. That's, for me, I just felt like those were the two choices. I couldn't deceive myself anymore. I couldn't unring the bell. I couldn't unlearn what I already learned. And then I really had to make a decision. So it's been wonderful. It's just been wonderful since then. I'm, you know, neutral around the food. I don't have the crazy thoughts. I maintain, I'm enlarging my spiritual. I've had that spiritual awakening that I heard others talk about. And I don't know how to say this without, I can't imagine right now going back out, and I won't, as long as I maintain this and as long as I do every day what I need to do, because I can't deceive myself anymore. Not once it's in the innermost soul. It's like, I can't deceive myself anymore. If I pick up now, it is clearly me just deciding I'm going to pick up. That's how it's going to be. So thank you very much for all your service, and I pass.
And thank you, Connie T. from Pennsylvania, and happy birthday. Okay, Darlette P., you're up, followed by Jill C. Good morning.
Hi, this Star is Darlette P.
There you go.
This is Darlette P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and still working this program like my hair's on fire. And I am so grateful today for everyone on the line and for those putting the meeting on. I truly am a compulsive overeater, and I definitely have that stinking thinking in my head. And I know today that when those thoughts start cropping up in my mind, I have to turn that around. I have to look at my self-deception. I have to look at my selfishness, because therein is where I'm telling myself, it's okay to have this. It's okay to have that, or I want what I want when I want it. That selfishness, that true selfishness when it came to my food. I don't need that today. I can put it down, but I still have to work at it. I have to get those thoughts out of my head and turn it around and remember that I'm here to help others today, not just myself. And in helping others, then I am helping myself. So I am truly grateful today, and it's taken me a long time. It took me a long time to wake up and have this spiritual awakening. I've been in OA over 30 years, and I've been in Vision 3 years. And I only with COVID have I truly found my true abstinence and my recovery. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Darlette P. from Illinois. And Jill C., you're up, followed by Samia S. Good morning, Jill.
Hi, this is Jill C. from Northern California, San Jose. And I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I have to say that even as I say that, I'm like, really? Are you a compulsive overeater? I've been in this program since the end of October last year. So I'm fairly new, and I'm not through the steps 100% yet. And this paragraph, actually this whole chapter, was just kind of a wake-up call for me. I mean, I think for so long I relied on my willpower, and I kept thinking, is this really me? Is this, yeah, but what about this? What about? And I've come to find out that it is really me. And it doesn't matter if I think that I don't look like someone else, or that my experience wasn't exactly someone else's experience. You know, my experience is mine, and it tells me that I'm a compulsive overeater. And so I'm grateful for this call and for all the shares and for learning about everyone else and the acceptance that there is in this group. And the other thing for me is that I just have to put the food down and then run to my higher power. If I keep trying to figure out what, you know, play around with the food or figure out a substitution or something like that, I'm missing the whole point. For me, it is so much about the spiritual, the higher power, and getting rid of these thoughts and the character defects and really dealing with that stuff that is going to keep me sane and abstinent. The food, like I've heard, is just the solution that we were using. So anyway, I'm just grateful and thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jill C. from California. And before I take you, Samia, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say, and I'll be able to take a couple more names after Samia. So go ahead, please, Samia S.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for your service. It's Samia S., compulsive overeater in Delaware. So grateful for everyone who shared in and those who are listening. And I like in the paragraph, as somebody else had already said, I didn't realize that I was deceiving myself or that I was, you know, conducting these experiments. I really truly just felt like I hadn't found the solution for myself yet. And I think what's so beautiful about this program, it's like my whole life I had been searching for something and I did not know what it was. And when I entered the rooms of vision, I heard the solution, and it struck me in my core in a way where it was like, okay, this is what you were searching for through all the diets, through all the, you know, this was it, this connection to a higher power, this inner peace, this freedom from these character defects. And so to hearing the solution turned out to be what I had been searching for my whole life. But as I got to step 10, I had all these expectations, and I guess things didn't work out the way that I wanted them to. I probably was not working the program properly, and I started playing with my food and started maneuvering this and changing that and switching this, that, and around. And so as I can see the disease creeping right back over my shoulder, there's a lot of shame here. There's a lot of guilt here. And, you know, I need to tell my sponsor pretty much that I've gotten all the way to step 10 and picked up because I tried to take back control. But it's really not about that. I really am ready to do exactly what she recommends, because with each relapse comes a new level of humility. So it hasn't sunk in all the way that this is the only option for me, because I still try to play with my food. But I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep on working, and I think that's the key. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Samia S. in Delaware. Okay, we're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I can take a couple more names.
Grace H.
Grace H.
Catherine N.
Catherine N. Okay, great. Okay, go ahead, please, Grace.
Hi, thanks. This is Grace H. in Georgia. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this paragraph, wow, is me. As far back as I can remember, even as a little kid, I refused to believe that I was in this class. It was like I had a sense that I was different, and everything in me wanted to pretend that wasn't the case. And so I thought if I worked hard enough, if I found the right thing to do, I could escape it and be like all my other friends who I saw as completely normal. And it has been a huge laying down of pride for me. To surrender to the truth about myself, but I really cannot drink like other people, as it says, I can't. And really just over the past few months, I'm about a little over 6 months in, And I feel a sense of relief and actual gratitude for being this strange person in this class of people. I kind of I'm actually counting myself lucky now, because it has given me the opportunity to have a spiritual awakening. And it's weird to feel grateful for it, but wow, I'm grateful to be done with the experimentation and self-deception. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Grace H. from Georgia. And Catherine N., go ahead, please.
This is Catherine N. from Georgia. I can so relate to this paragraph. I have been in OA in quite a few years, and just recently actively work in the Divisions program, or Divisions Way. And, you know, all the years I've been in OA, I really never grasped the concept of allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. And I was so interested in sometimes identifying out, you know, I never ate a whole big round thing that had candles on it, or a whole big, you know, whatever. I can't be a real compulsive overeater, yet every time I would eat my trigger foods, you know, my body would have the same reaction, and my mind would start obsessing over what I just ate and you know, what I could get. It wouldn't necessarily be that same day, but it would, you know, it would be with me, and then I would have to give in to it. So I know that I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I need to you know, work this program as hard as I can, because this is the answer. OA is the answer, and at some level I've known it's always been the answer, but I have a new level of surrender, and I think they're, you know, all the foods I put down so far, I think there are still a few things here and there that I need to take a hard look at and be honest about. And thanks everybody for being here, and thanks for the everybody's service, who's doing service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Catherine N. from Georgia. Would anyone like to take a quick 2-minute share? Okay.
Hi, my name is Rachel R. from Ohio.
Okay, Rachel, you have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, Rachel.
So I just started less than a week ago, and I guess I've been speaking to different people, and some of them make me feel really doubtful, and some help me to see a little bit what's meant by a spiritual awakening, but I don't know. Can I leave my number on the line?
Rachel, we're going to, as soon as the recorded version is finished in just a couple of minutes, we will be able to take your name and number, and you'll get some calls, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so we will go ahead and
we're not hearing you, Kathleen.
Kathleen, we don't hear you.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I was muted. Thank you, Elaine. Okay, we are going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Penny LC, if you could read a vision for you, please. And Penny, I'll see if you could star one to unmute.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.